Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we're going to look at the first six verses this morning. Luke 9. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. This is on the commissioning of the 12 when Jesus gave them power and authority. Luke 9, beginning with verse 1. Summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the road, he told them. No staff, no traveling bag, no bread, no money. Don't take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. If they do not welcome you when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. For almost 2 years, the disciples, these 12 apostles, they had been with Jesus everywhere he had gone. They had not been out of his presence. They were with him whenever he preached and taught. They were in his presence whenever he healed the sick. Whenever he raised the dead, they were in his presence when he cast out demons. But now it is time for them to leave his presence and go it alone. To at least go without him physically with them. They had been with him, but now it was time for them to go out for him. And this is the first time that we see Jesus sending people out to represent him. And there are some lessons of importance that I think we need to understand today, because in a very real sense, you and I represent him today. Now, before we go much further, I need to talk about this term apostle, because there's some people, we have different thinking, okay? There are some who say that there's no longer any apostles, period. That these 12, 13, 14 were the apostles and we no longer have apostles. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says that he gave some to be apostles, some to be preachers, some to be teachers, and other things like that. And so how do you say, okay, well, there are some people, some very well-known good scholars who say we no longer have apostles. And we have over here in Ephesians 4 saying he gave some to be apostles and teachers and preachers and all that kind of stuff. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and let's see if we can kind of work through this and figure this out a little bit about this term apostle and exactly what's going on here. Acts chapter 1, verse 23. So they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, which is also known as Justus, and Matthias. When they prayed, you know, Lord, everyone's heart, show which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this. Now notice these next two words, apostolic ministry, that Judas left to where he belongs. Now listen, in some versions that is listed as apostolic office. So it's an office or ministry. I submit to you that there are two things going on here. First of all, there was the office or the ministry of apostle, which is we have these 14 and their purpose. They were given a specific purpose for a specific time, and that was helping to establish the New Testament church. They were there for that time and purpose, and they were given special gifts and various things to help establish the New Testament church. So you have the office or ministry apostle, but then you also have the gift of the apostle, and that's what Ephesians 4 is talking about. Go over to Acts chapter 14 and look at verse 14. Because if we say that there's no longer, that those 14 are the only apostles, well then we come to Acts 14 verse 14, and Acts 14, 14 says, the apostles Barnabas and Paul. Well now wait a minute, how was Barnabas an apostle if he wasn't one of the 14? Barnabas had the gift of being an apostle. He wasn't one of the ones that was set apart by Christ for a specific mission in a specific time of getting the New Testament church going, but he had the gift of being an apostle. And there's other examples in the New Testament. James, Junius in Romans 16, possibly Silas is mentioned of having the gift of being an apostle. And understand that the Greek word apostle, it only means one that is sent on a mission. That's what it means. One that is sent on a mission. And so the office of apostle is, I agree, we no longer have the office of apostle, but we have the gift of apostle. And so these 12 apostles, these men chosen by God to be his men at a particular time in service. Out of the 12, one of them was Judas. He defected. He was replaced by Matthias. We read about that by the church. And then later, Paul was added as the apostle, as the 14th apostle, and he was an apostle to the Gentiles. But these men were certified by God for a particular office, for a particular ministry, for a particular time period in the New Testament church. But that doesn't mean that you and I can't draw some lasting, valuable truths from their lives and experiences. And so the first thing I want you to see is the equipment that God gave them before he sent them out. The Bible says, summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. The Bible says that Jesus gave these disciples two basic things. First, he gave them power. Power is the Greek word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. This word power has the idea of energy or force or ability or strength, the ability to be able to do something. God gave them the ability. Jesus gave them the power, the ability, the energy, the strength to go out to accomplish this task. He gave them power. And he says he gave them power over all demons. He gave them energy, strength, might over all demons. Listen, there's not a demon that can overwhelm the child of God if the child of God is filled with the power of God. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And we must never forget that. And so Jesus gave them power over demons. He also gave them power over disease. They were able to go and they were able to heal the sick. But not only did he give them power, he gave them authority. Well, what is the difference in power and authority? Well, power is the force or the strength or the ability to do something. Authority is the right or the privilege or the liberty to do something. You see, Jesus not only gave them power, he gave them the right to use that power. And folks, I tell you, we have the same right that they had. We don't have to be intimidated by the devil. We don't have to be intimidated by this world's crowd. Let them laugh. The Bible says, he that sits in the heavens laughs when the heathen rage. We don't have to be intimidated by them. We don't have to be obedient to this world. The world looks at the church as Christians and says, man, you need to just stay inside your church. You need to keep your mouth shut and you just need to let us do what we want to do. Listen, we don't have to obey that because God has given us the power and the authority, the right to proclaim the message of God. And so he equipped those 12. And he gave them power. And he gave them authority. And he gives us power. And he gives us authority. Now notice the second thing. Not only the equipment that he gave them, but notice the assignment that he gave them. Verse 2, the Bible says, he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What's the assignment? The assignment was to preach. The assignment was to proclaim. The healing of the sick was a validation of their ministry. The healing of the sick was a validation of their authority. There were signs and wonders that we find in the book of Luke and Luke's other book, the book of Acts. They were signs and miracles that were authenticating the credentials of these 12 men. But their primary assignment was to preach. Was to proclaim. And they were to preach the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean to preach the kingdom of God? Well, I can tell you this. It was good news because it says there in verse 6 that they went everywhere preaching the good news. And so the kingdom of God is good news. But listen, it's not the same good news. It's not the same gospel that we find in 1 Corinthians 15. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel." And then he identifies what the gospel is, how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scripture. That's the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. That's the good news. That's the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15. But when you read Luke 9, they went preaching the good news, but they were not preaching that Christ died and that he was buried and that he was raised from the dead. Why? Because he hadn't died yet. He hadn't been buried yet. He hadn't been raised from the dead. And so the good news that they are preaching in Luke 9 is not the same good news that we preach today. You see, their good news was a limited message. Their good news was a lesser message than the message we preach today. They were preaching the kingdom of God. What does it mean to preach the kingdom of God? Well, it means that they were preaching that God is absolutely sovereign in his universe. They were preaching that God is absolutely in control. They were preaching that God is from everlasting to everlasting, that he is God. And they were preaching, man, it doesn't matter what the power of the Roman Empire may have, that God is God and he's in control. And listen, the same is true for us. It doesn't matter what the power of the communist empire may be today, God is still God. And God's power is not relegated to him by Washington or Moscow or Beijing or anywhere else. God's power is his because he is God. And that's the good news of the kingdom of God. Don't be disheartened. Don't be distressed. Don't be confused. Don't wring your hands. God is still God. And that's the good news. That's the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of righteousness. And that's what they were preaching. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness. The kingdom of darkness is rampant. Man, you see the fingerprints of sin everywhere. Everywhere you look, you find the evidence of sin corrupting and defiling. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness. And listen, God hadn't changed his mind. There's no changing in him. There's no variableness in him. There's no darkness in him. God is still a God of righteousness. And the kingdom of God is still a kingdom of righteousness. And that's the message that John the Baptist preached. John preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when Jesus came on the scene, he preached the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And now Jesus is taking these men, full of power and full of authority, to preach the same message that John preached and that he had preached. And he said, now, when you go preach it, you tell them that the kingdom is a kingdom of holiness and righteousness and justice for every person. And the Bible says they went out proclaiming the gospel. Now the word proclaim in verse 2 is the word, Greek word kerusso. It means to herald forth. It means to herald out. A herald is someone who does not originate a message. A herald is someone who transmits a message from somebody else. They weren't authors of the message. They didn't write the kingdom of God. God did that. And so Jesus sent them out to herald out, to proclaim the kingdom of God, the good news. But in verse 6, the phrase proclaiming the good news is one Greek word. It's the word evangelizo. We get our word evangelism from it, or evangelize from that word. And so they were to go out announcing, heralding the message of the kingdom of God, and also they went out with a desire to win people to faith in that God. And that was their assignment. That's what they were doing. They were going out preaching the kingdom of God. But notice, thirdly, the instructions he gives them. He gives them equipment, he gives them the assignment, but then he gives them instructions. Look at Luke 9, verse 3. Take nothing for the road. He told them, nor staff, nor traveling bag. Now, a traveling bag is a pouch, and it was used by ancient philosophers as a begging bag. When you saw someone who had one of these leather pouches, you knew that he was some kind of public speaker and that he lived off the gifts that the people would give him. And so this bag was a leather pouch that was used for begging. And I want to tell you, God has never been in the begging business. David said, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. God is not in the begging business. He said, don't take the beggar's pouch with you. Don't take any bread. Don't take any money. And don't take an extra shirt with you. Don't take an extra robe. Don't take a change of clothing. Now, that's kind of strange. Now, understand what Jesus is trying to say to these 12. And now, it's not the same thing, right? He says to us, now I told you that at the beginning, but there's a principle here. Jesus, I told you at the beginning, was sending these out from his presence for the first time. Since they had come to him, they had not been away from him. But now he says, I want you to go out from my presence, but I don't want you to take any sticks with you. I don't want you to take a beggar's bag with you. I don't want you to take any bread. I don't want to take you any. I don't want you to take a change in the clothing. What is that all about? Jesus is wanting them to know that even when you're out of my presence, you're never out of my presence. Even when you're out of my presence, you're never out of my presence. He said, I want you to trust me. In these 2 years that you've been with me, you've been looking me in the eye, face to face, nose to nose, toe to toe. And I have provided for you. And now you're going to go out and be my physical presence. And I want you to trust me to continue to provide for you. That's what he said. He said, I want you to travel light, because the lighter you travel, the faster and the farther you can go. But I want you to trust me for your provisions. And folks, I want to tell you, we can trust him. And then he says, not only do I want you to trust me for your provisions, he said, I want you to live in the homes of the people to whom you're going to minister. Look there in verse 4. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and leave from there if they do not welcome you. When you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Now you have to understand, in the day of the New Testament, they didn't have a Holiday Inn. Didn't have a hotel or motel to go to. Didn't have anything like that. And when you were a traveler, you were dependent upon the hospitality of the people in a certain community. And part of the culture of the world of that time was that the great majority of people were willing to open up their homes to complete strangers. Now, that's just the way they lived then. We don't live that way today, but that's the way they lived back then. And Jesus said, when you go, I want you to go with my power. I want you to go with my authority. I want you to go trusting in me for all your provisions. And I want you to be a part of the culture where you're going. He says, I want you to stay in homes of these people. And he says, don't turn anybody down. Jesus looks at these men and says, listen, if the first place you go to, if they invite you to come home with them, and you get to their house, and it's sort of a rundown place with a bunch of smelly animals running in and out the door, and a bunch of squalling youngins running in and out the door behind those smelling animals, he said, don't turn your nose up and go somewhere else. He said, you stay there. You stay the first place you're invited to stay, and you stay as long as you're in that area. Don't move up. Don't try to find something better, because you will offend those people who first invited you, and here's the thing, you're never going to win people you have offended. Don't offend them. Don't offend them. So I want you to trust me for your provisions. And then I want you to learn to be content with whatever situation you find yourself in. Whatever situation you find yourself in, wherever you are, be content. But don't ever lose focus of what you're there to do. God says to these men, I'm not sending you there to become enamored with worldliness. I'm not sending you there to elevate yourself in some kind of earthly kingdom. He said, I want you to go where I'm sending you, trusting me for all your provisions, and be willing to be content wherever you are to keep your eyes focused on what I have sent you to do, and that is to preach the kingdom of God. And then notice the last thing. We see their equipment, their assignment, their instructions, but notice their obedience in verse 6. The Bible says, so they went out and they traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. What does that mean? It means they did exactly what the Lord told them to do. Exactly what He told them to do. They were obedient to Him. Now, let me conclude with a couple of statements. Now, I've already shared that I don't believe we have the office of apostle today. It doesn't exist. We have the gift of it, but not the office of it. There are only 14 men in all of history who've had the designation of the office of the ministry of apostle, of forming that first New Testament, of forming the church. One of them defected and replaced by Mattathias. He became the 13th. Paul is the 14th man to hold that title. And the office doesn't exist out of those 14 men. These men served God at a time when the Bible had not been completed. And God gave them great signs and powerful signs. They could heal the sick. They could raise the dead. Brother Shane, do you ever wish you had that power? Every time I go into the hospital or the funeral home, I don't think any preacher would ever be telling the truth if he didn't say, I wish I had that power. When I go into the hospital and I see cancer eating away at a body, man, I wish that I could just speak a word or cast pixie dust or do something. Don't you think if I had the power to do that I wouldn't do that? Sure, I wish I had the power. I know people that are going through great bouts of depression, and I wish I could just snap my fingers and people would just come out of that depression. It would just lift off their bodies. I wish I could do that, but I can't. I've seen some of your hearts broken and your eyes red because you have wept so profusely. I've listened to some of you share how your world has just caved in when your loved one died. I know the heartache that some of you feel. And every time I step into the funeral home, I wish that I could reach over like Jesus did to the daughter of Jairus and take that person by the hand and say, get up, let's get out of here. Let's go over to Kenny's and get some lunch. I wish I could do that. But I can't. You say, well, Brother Shane, do we have less power today than those 12 men did? In that sense, yeah, but listen, we have a greater message. We have a greater message. Brother Shane, would you trade the message for the power? Absolutely not. You see, they preach the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom which is God is absolutely sovereign, a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom that requires obedience. And if you're not obedient, you must repent. That's what they preach. And they had great signs to authenticate that message. But today, I can stand and I can preach, or I can sit with someone one-on-one, and I can say, hey, this King of righteousness and this King of justice and this King of holiness, His name is Jesus, and He gave His life upon a cross for your sin because He loved you. And He was buried in a tomb, and He was raised from the dead. And if you will trust in Him, you will have everlasting life. And it doesn't matter if they die with cancer, if they go to be with Him. It doesn't matter if they die of a heart attack, if they go and be with Him. It doesn't matter if they cannot see, if one day they're going to see Him face to face. I would not trade the message for more power. I'll keep the message I have, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the Bible says that that message is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The message we have is powerful. It brings about salvation to those who are lost. And I'd much rather have that message to save somebody's life than the power to heal and just snap my fingers and be able to do something. Give me the message of telling people about Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You that today we have the full gospel that Jesus died and was buried and was raised again. And Father, I pray today for those who may be in this room who've never been saved. I pray today that they would come to Jesus and be saved. Lord, maybe there are some here today who need a church home, a place to be a part of a family, and they've been praying, they visited, but they're seeking Your will and they're waiting for a word. And God, they'll come if You'll speak to them. They're ready, and I pray today they would come. Lord, this is Your invitation. This is Your time. And I pray, Lord, that we would always hold fast to the message of Jesus Christ. And remember that You have given us, Your church, the power and the authority to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can have eternal life through Him. And Father, I just pray that You would work a great work in our midst today. And I pray Your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.